The record companies, by the way, were uninterested in this big band side of Will's music. They were selling his aha, his fiddle and steel guitars. Several of the big band and swing tunes went unissued, and likewise the movie companies excluded most of the horns from the films. And this particularly outstanding band that Benny was marshaling for Bob broke up due to World War II by about mid-1942. And Will's musical format soon migrated back to a string band with a few reeds or horns added for embellishment. Strickler went back to L.A., but he was soon on to San Francisco, and there he stood in briefly for Lou Waters and made his now legendary air shots from the Don Club with the Yerba Buena Jazz Band. Sadly, within months of these performances, tuberculosis sent Strickler to a sanatorium and his death a few years later. But that chapter of Benny Strickler's story is told in another episode, so let's get back to Bob Wills. This is Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for being with me and my guest commentators, Chris Tile and Hal Smith. Danny Alguire.
We had a guy that drove the bus and loaded all the instruments. Well organized. We'd get through playing at 1 o'clock, and we'd all go over to a restaurant over there, like in Oklahoma City, and get something to eat. Benny'd have his bowl of chili or something, or else he'd be running around town trying to buy a jug. He says, I know where I can get a half pint of booze. You know, that was dry then, but there was bootleggers.
But Benny Strickler didn't booze much. He liked us. I never saw him drunk.
It's all my fault, eh?
And it's all your fault if I ain't playing, having fun, and if I'm staying all by myself. It's all your fault.
Blame everything on us girls.
When you said that we were through, I tried to find somebody new, but I found out it wouldn't do.
And then back in 41, 42, for Christ's sake, don't put this in anywhere, but Benny and all of us got on the Benzedrine kick. You know, it was taking two or three Bennies going to work in the afternoon because it was a tough job. We had to drive every day and night, you know. We was on the Bennies and it wasn't helping any of us because, you know, that kills your appetite anyway. You know, we'd drink booze. And, well, I didn't do this, but Benny did. Riding back home on the bus, so he'd get some rest, he'd take a sleeping pill. You know, that didn't do any good for any of our health, except that I just figured out it wasn't good, and I kind of knocked it off, you know. It was a good upper at the time. There was always a penalty, because when you come down, you really went down, you know. But anyway, we'd go to this restaurant to eat, and the bus left at 2, always. If you weren't there, it went off without you. The reason for this was, not only to get something to eat, but if a guy had a date with some gal. Like, if everybody was ready to go at 1:30, and there was one guy still missing, we honored him. Maybe if he had a date, we stayed too. Bob says, I want you guys to always, you know, get your kicks. Of course, Bob never rode much in the bus anyway. He just took his car back, took some guy with him. But that was the deal in the van. The bus left an hour after the
film. I'll just tell him it's all your fault.
Unusual for his day, Ben was strongly influenced by early jazz trumpet style and the jazz of his native Southwest, like the Benny Moten Orchestra.
Danny Alguire told me that when he was working with Benny Strickler in the Bob Wills Band, that Benny was a student of earlier types of jazz, where I think many of the current day trumpet players at that time would have been influenced by Harry James or Bunny Berrigan. Benny Strickler would say, hey Danny, listen to this, here's Bix, and play something, as Danny put it, that sounded exactly like Bix. And he obviously listened to Louis Armstrong and just the earlier style players, and he had that Southwestern influence going from Lamar Wright and the Benny Moten Band.
I know he had heard the Moten Band, and I think that his ideal of the kind of trumpet playing he enjoyed was more along the lines of someone who was simple, sort of the King Oliver kind of, you know, rather than Louis at that time, if you know what I mean.
There's a simplicity. I think you use the term in your liner notes, archaic.
By that time, that sort of playing would be considered kind of archaic. I think that was the way the Benny sort of felt the music.
Helm said, no wasted motion.
Yeah, it's a sort of like Zen trumpet play. You know, if you start really looking at what he's playing, you know, when he's improvising and that kind of thing, there's little clever things that he does that prove to me that he could have been a much more complicated player than he was. He had this amazing way of paring everything down.
We made about 18 tunes. Some of them were just fiddle tunes, some were big band. But there was about three or four big band things that were never released. But there was none of them that Benny played in choruses on. See, Benny is damn unselfish. Just that kind of a guy.
Well, did he play like a lead on any of the stuff that would mark it as being him?
Only on 10 years.
For one thing, the vocal's very good. I thought it was Tommy Duncan.
Yeah.
Until I took a closer look at the discography and found that it was Leon Huff, who I think very much copied Duncan.
Yeah, I don't know what his story was, but Benny didn't like him.
Benny what? Didn't like him?
Benny didn't like him. And Danny told me Benny liked everybody, but he didn't like Leon Huff, and they got into a fight one time. He sort of came in the band and had this kind of attitude, and I don't think that he rubbed guys the wrong way, let's just put it that way.
Huh, that's curious. The handful of Will's Bob Katz-influenced discs demonstrate what a great jazz band this was.
Especially 10 Years, where he led a Bob Katz-type Dixieland ensemble within the big band. That's probably his best recording with the Wills Band.
It proves the Wills Band could play Dixieland swing just as good, if not better, than the Crosby Band. And though he doesn't solo here, Ben is heard leading a strong hot chorus after the second vocal. And it's an example of something he did very, very well. His horn part isn't flashy, but he swings the whole band, directing it with his lead, imparting a jaunty bounce to the band.
Price is more than I can pay. 10 years that seem like 10 million. I've knelt at your command, but I've had enough, so I'm leaving. 10 years is more than I can stand.
Check out that belly.
What you plan, but starting today things are different,
and so different.
10 years is more than I can stand. Will soon be forgotten. I'll find a new love so grand. I'm leaving you here to your sorrow. 10 years is more than I can stand.
There's that bounce, that certain something in the rhythm that Strickler brought to a band. And good as it is, there's an even hotter, unreleased take I'm saving for later. This is the Benny Strickler Story on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. My guest commentators are traditional jazz trumpet player Chris Tile and drummer Hal Smith. We're hearing clips of their interview with Danny Alguire, who played trumpet next to Strickler for about 11 months in the Bob Wills Texas Playboys of 1941-42. You can find photos, articles, and extended audio clips at the Jazz Rhythm website, Jazz Hot Big Step. That's all one word, jazzhotbigstep.com. Look for the page titled, Benny Strickler, Tulsa.
But generally, you can say this, he didn't watch his health, his eating habits. He just lived to play, you know. So that led to the TB, I'm sure. He never could get any meat on him. God, he was just a beanpole, you know, about 6 feet tall, and I don't think he weighed 135 pounds. We'll do Sugar Blues. Hell, Benny, go down there and play it just like Clyde McCoy, boy. Perfect. You couldn't tell him Clyde McCoy. Bob Wills had a way that really kept you alert. He never, nothing was ever real set in the band, you know. Bob never caught him napping. He was the most alert guy, boy, you watched him. And Benny, boy, and when you took one, he always stood up, you know. So he'd say, take it, Benny. Benny, boy, would get up.
And sometimes he used to have a way of wrapping his legs around a chair, around the piano legs. And I remember one time Benny got up there and just hung up in the chair. And he was wrestling with that chair with his foot and just playing his ass off.
Let's go to the church around the corner. We know, oh, 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 lie-a-loo. We're only wasting time. Say you'll be mine, lie-a-loo.
Why do we hear no solos by Benny on the Bob Wills records? There are several reasons. Danny says that in live performance, Benny did have featured solos, but Alex Brashear was the primary trumpet soloist in the band. Strickler and Allgaier were mostly playing scored-out arranged parts or supporting riffs. But in the final analysis, it just seems that with his typical generosity, Ben was more concerned with ensemble unity than his own moment in the limelight. All that thinking together and listening to each other that Danny says was Ben's main preoccupation.
He just turned to you and said, you know what? Boy, if you don't think alike, you can't play alike. You have to think alike. You have to have a meeting of minds before you have a meeting in music. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, listen. You got to listen to each other all the time so that you're with everybody and you're playing together. You're making the tune sound good. God, he just harped on that all the time, make the tune sound good. I remember one time he says, even if you can make the tune sound good by laying out, lay out. You know? But he always was, that was his big thing, is make the tune sound good.
It just seems that with his characteristic modesty and generosity, Benny chose to give away his usual featured solo on Let's Ride with Bob. And that was Benny's tune. At this mid-1942 session, Wills wanted a new theme song that would be something different, low down, dirty, and bluesy. Benny conceived it on the spot, based on a riff in Louis Armstrong's 1927 recording of Kid Ory's Savoy Blues.
Benny Strickler worked out that theme, Let's Ride with Bob.
It says by Bob Wills on the record.
Yeah,
but
Benny did it. So Benny says, hell, you can't beat the blues, Bob. And he says, that's just a set of riff. And he just turned to us and he says, here's the riff, dun, 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 just blues, you know. Benny set that riff, and that set the thing, and then those figures, you know, those, those filling in on things. Mm-hmm. So Benny did write the tune. Yeah. On that recording session of that theme, you know, Benny had always taken the course on it. And at the recording session, he says, Alex, you go ahead and take the trumpet on. Alex says, no, Benny, always play. He says, no, I says, I got too much ensemble. He says, and he used to do it to me all the time, like stuff he'd been playing. He'd say, Dan, you play on this. Go ahead. He says, God, you got, you know, we're all got to get our courses. And, you know, he's that way. See, Benny is damn unselfish.
And keep in mind that even though the solo is by Brashear, Alex dropped his usual mute and played it open and direct in a manner one might presume resembled Strickler's.
Willie, Willie. Yeah.
he'll come down.
Let's Ride with Bob, the newly composed Bob Wills Texas Playboys theme devised by Benny Strickler.
Boy, I learned so much from Benny. He used to make many mistakes. I don't remember him making any. I used to think, gee, the guy ain't human. He never split a note or... To be a good trumpet player, you got to be really courageous. Oh, yeah. You got to really believe you can do it, you know? That top note, I'll get it. You know you can get it, and you do get it. If you don't think you can get it, you won't get it. And that's the quality that Benny had that I didn't have enough of. I was a little on the tempting side. But Benny didn't back away from anything. He knew he could do it, and did.
Danny had only been playing in dance bands and told me that he was a bit intimidated by having to read a lot of charts and all that kind of stuff, even though he could do it. I think that was a big step up for him from what he had been doing.
After World War II, Alguire worked for some country and western guys like T. Texas Tyler and Merle Travis. And he famously played trumpet in the Firehouse Five jazz band for a couple decades.
He joined in 1949 and stayed until the band broke up in 1971. He used a lot of his western swing training in the Firehouse Five, coaching on how to play for dancers and how not to repeat keys and tempos.
Danny retired to the Portland, Oregon area in the 70s, where he played some jazz and in 1977 granted the interview we've been hearing. When the Wills Band paused for World War II, Benny was on to San Francisco and his legendary recordings at the Don Club. But sadly, Strickler was developing tuberculosis, which ended his music before the end of the year 1942, sending him to a sanatorium and his death 4 years later. And even though Benny disappeared quickly and left behind very few records, I asked Chris and Hal if we could detect his influence on other trumpeters.
Well, I think the impact was not necessarily for the generations that came after in a real direct way, but he made a huge impact on the guys that he worked with.
He influenced all the subsequent trumpet players who played in that band, including guys who were in the section with him.
I think we have a good example of that.
We do. It's a Boot Heel Drag. It's a later recording by the Wills Band, and Alex plays a solo. Usually he used a Harmon mute or some kind of cup mute on his soloing. This one he plays open horn. The phrasing and the intensity level is very, very much like Benny Strickler.
It's clear to me that Benny Strickler was integral to lifting Bob Wills' band to its zenith in 1941 and 42. In the Dixieland sections, his direct lead swings the band with great drive. And listening closely to this session, we can hear musicians who are following his encouragement to think together, listen to each other, and make the tune sound good. At the Jazz Rhythm website, there's a lot more about Benny and Bob Wills, including a photo gallery of Strickler with the Texas Playboys, Danny's hit vocal and description of singing for Wills, and Hal Smith's fine articles. Go to Jazz Hot Big Step, that's all one word, jazzhotbigstep.com, and look for the Benny Strickler pages.
So, not only a marvelous musician, but what a wonderful guy personally. He's just fun to be around. Great talker, but he talked interesting.
Benny's trouble wasn't. He wanted to play so much, and of course wanted to play his own thing, but he loved his wife and kids, you know. And he had to think of them. I never saw such a dedicated guy. Such a nice guy. Fine musician. A gentleman. A great friend.
I tell you, if Benny had lived, Benny would have wound up with his own band. It was inevitable. He'd been big.
I agree with Danny there. Strickler had all the tools he'd need. A firm grounding in jazz, a definite perspective of his own, and a natural ability to lead and unify a band. It's also evident that the San Francisco musicians responded to these qualities before TB silenced his horn. The premature end of Benny Strickler's music career at age 25 was a great loss to jazz and American music. My deep and sincere thanks to Hal Smith and Chris Tile for their insights on Strickler and use of Danny Alguire's interview. I highly recommend their 1991 tribute to Benny Strickler on Stomp Off Records. Finally, we're going to hear the hotter and unreleased take of 10 Years as I give the final word to Benny's friend and great admirer, Danny Alguire. That's the Benny Strickler story on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for listening.
I'm so glad I got to know Benny.
Good sense of humor, laughed a lot, but all business on stand.
He just lived for music. I can't emphasize enough. Benny just lived to play. Boy, he came to play. Because I think if he couldn't play, he'd just soon die. That's how dedicated he was to music. He loved it. I liked it, but he loved it.
There's a difference.
The price is more than I can pay. Like 10 million, I've knelt at your command, but I've had enough, so I'm leaving. 10 years is more than I can stand.
Forgotten.
I'll find a new love so grand.
Yes, you will.
I'm leaving you here to your sorrow.